Welcome in, everyone. Whether you are prepping for a huge meeting, trying to catch up on the absolute whirlwind that is the tech industry, or you're just insanely curious about where the future is heading, pull up a chair.
Yeah, we are so glad you're here.
We really are. We always say that this show is like three friends sitting around a table having a fascinating conversation. And today, you are that crucial third person.
Absolutely.
We have a massive stack of source material to get through for this deep dive. Specifically, we're looking at the March 9, 2026 tech newsletter from Tekken Legion.
Right, the MWC wrap-up and some major global market shifts.
Exactly. And our mission for this deep dive, we are going to cut right through the endless marketing jargon and the hype. We want to take these industry-shifting announcements and translate them into the real, genuine aha moments that you actually care about.
And looking at this stack of sources, the overarching theme of what we're exploring today is really just boldness.
Boldness, yeah. I like that.
We're looking at a pivotal moment in the industry right now. For years, we were fed these very safe, incremental updates, you know.
Oh, definitely. Like a slightly better camera here, a marginally faster processor there.
Right. But today, the companies in our source material are entirely abandoning that playbook. They are pushing wild, boundary-breaking concepts across the board.
It's everywhere.
It is. We are talking about massive shifts in gaming hardware, smartphones, wearables, and, well, even a completely unprecedented maneuver in global electric vehicle supply chains.
Yeah, that EV story is wild.
It really is a moment where playing it safe is just no longer an option.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with a device that literally changes its own shape. I'm talking about the foldable revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, what just happened at MWC 2026 in Barcelona with the Lenovo Legion Go Fold. The newsletter calls this the world's first handheld gaming console with a foldable display.
Which is quite the claim.
It is. And when you look at the design, it's essentially a three-in-one device. Imagine you're holding a standard 7.7-inch gaming console, a pretty typical size, right?
Right, like a Steam Deck or a Switch.
Exactly. But then you just unfold it, and suddenly you are holding an 11.6-inch OLED screen.
Wow.
That is nearly a 50% increase in screen real estate right in your hands.
And the engineering required to pull that off without destroying the internal components? I mean, it's significant.
You can imagine.
Lenovo is taking the foldable OLED technology they previously developed for their enterprise ThinkPad Fold, and they're optimizing it entirely for the thermal and input demands of gaming, which are much higher.
Yeah, gaming runs hot.
Very hot. But you can split the screen vertically, somewhat reminiscent of a giant Nintendo DS, or open it horizontally like a cinematic tablet display. And if you pop off the keyboard, it's basically a mini laptop.
And the controllers are detachable, too, sort of like a Nintendo Switch. But they added this twist that I honestly couldn't believe when I read it.
The right controller, yeah.
Yes. The right controller actually has its own built-in mini display.
It's such a clever design choice.
It really is. You can use it as a touchpad, sure, but you can also use it as a dedicated screen for your performance metrics.
Right.
So imagine you're in the middle of a massive boss fight in a AAA game. Instead of cluttering up your beautiful OLED screen with a performance overlay, you just glance down at your controller to check your frames per second, your device temperature, or your GPU usage.
And you can even map hotkeys to it.
Exactly.
It solves a massive pain point for PC gamers who hate screen clutter. And frankly, the internal specifications justify needing that kind of performance monitoring.
Let's talk about those specs.
So the device is running on the Intel Core Ultra 7 258V processor.
Okay.
Rather than a standard mobile chip, that processor uses the Meteor Lake architecture that's specifically designed to balance power efficiency with high-end gaming output.
Which you need for a portable device.
Absolutely. And you pair that with 32 gigabytes of RAM, which, for context, is double what you'd find in a standard Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Double. It becomes a highly capable Windows machine running Steam, Epic, and Xbox Game Pass natively.
See, I look at all that power, an 11.6-inch OLED screen, and I immediately start sweating about battery life.
That is the big question mark.
The breakdown here says it has a 48-watt-hour battery, and Lenovo is claiming that covers about 3 to 4 hours of heavy gaming. How realistic is that?
Honestly, it's an ambitious claim that will require rigorous real-world testing.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Right. But the Tekken analysis in our source material captures the broader significance of what Lenovo is attempting here. They note that the Legion Go Fold proves the future of portable gaming doesn't necessarily have a fixed form factor.
Right, it adapts.
Exactly. The device is adapting to your environment. It's a handheld when you are crammed on the subway, a tablet when you are in bed, and a laptop when you're sitting at a cafe.
Boldness doesn't always mean it's a guaranteed home run, though.
Not at all.
There are some massive hurdles here. First off, analysts in our notes are predicting a price tag somewhere between $1,200 and $1,500.
Ouch.
Yeah, that is double the price of a Steam Deck. And then there is the durability question. You get frustrated during a match, grip the console a little too tight, or drop it.
Which happens in gaming.
All the time. Lenovo says they are using stainless steel hinges and titanium protection, but foldable screens are inherently delicate.
They are. The source material actually draws a direct parallel to a recent article on the Vision Pro's market struggles, which serves as a stark reminder here.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Simply being a transformative, futuristic piece of hardware does not automatically equate to commercial success. The market can easily reject a device based on price, perceived fragility, or just a lack of clear daily utility.
Right. And Lenovo is targeting a Q4 2026 launch, giving them a very short runway to prove this concept actually holds up in the real world.
It's a massive gamble.
But Lenovo isn't the only one taking massive swings with foldables right now. Let's pivot over to smartphones. Motorola just entered the book-style foldable market with the Motorola Razr Fold.
Finally.
Right. They've dominated the flip phone style for years with their older Razr models, but this is their first device that opens like a book into a mini tablet.
And the specs are impressive.
The external display is a massive 6.6 inches, and they are the very first to use Corning Gorilla Glass Ceramic 3.
Which is huge for durability.
They claim it is 30% more resistant to drops than the previous generation, meaning you might actually be able to use it all day without obsessing over micro scratches. Open it up, and you get a stunning 8.1-inch 2K LTPO AMOLED internal screen.
What's fascinating here is how Motorola chose to differentiate themselves in a market that is already heavily dominated by Samsung and Google.
Yeah, how do you compete with the Galaxy Fold?
Well, they didn't just focus on the stainless steel teardrop hinge to minimize the screen crease. Instead, they focused entirely on the most universal consumer pain point, battery anxiety.
Oh, absolutely.
They somehow engineered a massive 6,000 milliamp hour battery into this foldable chassis.
Which feels physically impossible for a foldable.
It really does.
To put that in perspective for you listening, we looked at the current heavyweights in the market. The Galaxy Z Fold 6 has a 4,400 milliamp hour battery.
Right.
The Pixel Fold 2 sits at 4,800. Motorola is packing in 6,000. They are promising a full day and a half of heavy use. You can literally forget to plug your phone in overnight and not wake up in a panic.
It completely alters how you interact with the device when you aren't constantly hunting for an outlet. Mm. And they manage this without skimping on the core processing power either.
No, it's stacked.
It features the Snapdragon 8 Gen 5 processor, 16 gigabytes of RAM, and a full terabyte of storage as a single standard configuration.
Plus, they're throwing the stylus right in the box.
Nice.
The Moto Pen Ultra has over 4,000 pressure levels, so it feels like writing on actual paper.
Oh, and for sports fans, there's a brilliant marketing play here.
The World Cup edition. Yes, they are releasing a special edition for the 2026 FIFA World Cup, featuring national team colors and a leather case, all bundled for 1,999 euros. With the World Cup happening in North America, they are clearly positioning this as a premium lifestyle device.
Well, bold hardware design is one thing.
Yeah.
But bold corporate strategy on a global scale is another.
True.
Shifting from the devices in our pockets to the vehicles in our driveways, the newsletter outlines a massive overnight shift in global supply chains.
This story is crazy.
On March 1st, 2026, the Canadian government enacted a sudden and major policy change regarding electric vehicle imports.
This plays out like a corporate heist. Canada essentially dropped its tariff on Chinese-built EVs from a staggering 100%, which had effectively walled them out of the country entirely down to just 6.1%.
That is a massive drop.
And they opened up an annual quota allowing 49,000 of these vehicles into the market.
The immediate market reaction is what makes this so fascinating. The source material details how Tesla executed a rapid pivot.
Ew.
They instantly pulled all of their U.S.-built Model 3 inventory from their Canadian website. They physically stopped selling the American-made cars in Canada and began routing them back to the United States.
Because they want to be first in line. The Canadian import program is issuing these new low-tariff permits on a first-come, first-served basis.
Right.
The first phase runs through August, issuing 24,500 permits. By yanking the expensive U.S. inventory out of the country, Tesla cleared the runway to import their own, significantly cheaper, Shanghai-built Model 3s and scoop up those permits before anyone else could even react.
And analyzing this purely from a market dynamics perspective, it illustrates the intense tension in global automotive trade right now.
How so?
Well, on one hand, the Canadian government's rationale is clear. They face massive consumer pressure for more affordable electric vehicles. That's alongside a strict mandate to reach 100% zero emission vehicle sales by 2035.
Right. You can't reach that goal if the cars cost too much.
Exactly. Achieving that requires driving the purchase price down. The sources also note this move is tied to ongoing diplomatic negotiations to improve broader trade relations.
But the American automakers are panicking. The newsletter notes that GM, Ford, and Stellantis view this influx of affordable Chinese EVs into North America as an existential competitive threat.
They absolutely do.
They have been aggressively lobbying the U.S. government to keep tariffs high. So you have this incredible standoff. American legacy automakers are terrified of losing market share, while Canadian consumers are suddenly looking at saving anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 on a brand new Model 3.
And the landscape is primed for even more disruption. Major Chinese EV manufacturers like BYD, which is currently the world's largest EV maker and NIO, are already exploring direct entry into the Canadian market to utilize this new 6.1% tariff quota.
This is exactly where you, the listener, come in, because it highlights the raw power of the consumer.
Yeah, choice matters.
The newsletter references a recent article about the ChatGPT exodus, the phenomenon where the second a viable, high-quality alternative hits the market, brand loyalty vanishes.
We've seen it time and time again.
When companies like BYD enter a market with high-quality, lower-priced options, legacy brands are forced to innovate or drop their prices. Consumer options break monopolies.
And that accelerated innovation, driven by fierce competition, brings us perfectly back to smartphones. Specifically, the intense arms race happening right now regarding mobile cameras and personal privacy.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Tomorrow, March 11, 2026, Samsung officially launches the Galaxy S26 series. And the S26 Ultra has a feature I've never seen on a phone before.
The privacy display.
Yes. They are calling it the world's first privacy display. Think about how often you are crammed onto a busy subway or sitting elbow to elbow at a coffee shop trying to read a confidential work email or a private text.
It's stressful.
The S26 Ultra uses a special optical layer built directly into the glass that limits the viewing angle to just 30 degrees. If you look straight at the phone, it's crystal clear. But the person sitting right next to you trying to shoulder surf, they just see a black screen.
The tech and security analysis highlights why this is such a necessary evolution. We spend a lot of time discussing digital privacy encryption protocols, VPNs, data tracking.
Sure, software stuff.
But physical privacy in a dense mobile world is a very genuine anxiety for users. Our entire personal and financial lives are projected on these screens.
That's a great point.
Engineering a hardware-level defense against visual eavesdropping is a highly practical innovation.
And the rest of the S26 Ultra is just as much of a powerhouse. You are looking at a 6.9-inch display pushing 2,600 nits of peak brightness, so sunlight won't be an issue at all.
It's incredibly bright.
They finally bumped the charging speed up to 60 watts, meaning you can take that 5,500 milliamp hour battery from 0 to 80% in just 35 minutes. But reading through the drop, it looks like we are back to playing the processor lottery, depending on where you live.
Yeah, the dual sourcing strategy remains a major point of contention. If you purchase the S26 Ultra, you receive the highly anticipated Snapdragon 8 Elite Gen 5 for Galaxy.
Right.
It's a custom chip boasting significant speed and power efficiency gains. However, if you opt for the standard S26 or the S26 Plus Emit and you reside in markets like Europe or the Middle East, you receive Samsung's in-house Exynos 2600 chip.
Which people aren't thrilled about.
Tech enthusiasts consistently push back against this. They're demanding performance parity across all global markets.
Well, no matter which chip you get, the AI integration is off the charts. They have baked Google Gemini directly into the core of the phone. The standout feature is Live Translate, which can translate your phone conversations in real time, completely offline.
So that offline part is key.
It processes everything right on the device's neural processing unit. That means zero lag, and more importantly, total privacy, because your voice data never actually leaves the physical phone.
It is a phenomenal software achievement. But while Samsung leans heavily into AI and privacy software, Their rival Xiaomi is taking a completely different brute force hardware approach to their new flagship.
Brute force is a good way to put it.
At MWC, they unveiled the Xiaomi 17 Ultra, which is essentially a masterclass in optical engineering crammed into a phone chassis.
Calling it a phone almost feels like a disservice to the camera on this thing.
Truly.
The newsletter details a 200 megapixel telephoto lens, but it's not just relying on digital cropping to zoom in. It features a 75 to 100 millimeter variable optical zoom.
It's physical hardware.
Yes. It literally uses a physical moving lens system inside the phone, exactly like what you would find on a professional DSLR camera. You get smooth optical zoom from 3.2x to 4.3x without losing a single pixel of quality.
And the primary sensor is just as aggressive. They managed to fit a Light Fusion 1050L sensor that is a full 1 inch in size.
A 1 inch sensor in a phone.
In photography terms, that is a massive light bucket. Mm-hmm. It allows for extraordinary dynamic range. You can shoot a scene with blindingly bright highlights and deep dark shadows, and the sensor preserves the details in both extremes.
That's incredible.
Furthermore, their ongoing partnership with Leica brings apochromatic lenses to a smartphone for the first time. That significantly reduces color distortion and produces incredibly accurate, high-contrast images.
You know what I love about the 17 Ultra, though? Xiaomi actually listened to their users regarding the physical design.
The screen, right.
Yeah. For years, these ultra-premium models had those curved waterfall screen edges. Users constantly complained that the curved edges made typing a nightmare and caused accidental touches when gaming.
It was form over function.
Xiaomi heard that, and the 17 Ultra features a completely flat 6.9-inch OLED display. Plus, they fit all of this massive camera tech, a new Snapdragon chip, and a 6,000 milliamp-hour battery into a chassis that is only 8.29 millimeters thick.
That's crazy.
That is literally slimmer than the iPhone 16 Pro Max.
It does command a premium price, though, of $1,771.
Okay.
But the source material makes a critical connection here, referencing a recent article on the proliferation of deepfakes and election integrity. High-fidelity camera technology is no longer just for hobbyists.
No, not at all.
It is becoming an essential tool. We are reaching a point where mobile cameras are matching professional rigs, fundamentally changing how citizens document reality, verify truth, and share information globally.
It really forces you to step back and realize how powerful these glowing rectangles in our pockets have become.
They are supercomputers.
They are. But looking at Samsung's other massive announcement at MWC, we might not be staring at those rectangles forever. Let's move into our final segment, wearables.
This is a fun one.
Samsung announced their first set of smart glasses, which are slated for late 2026. And the design philosophy here is a total departure from the current market.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to look at the two extremes currently available. On one end, you have heavy, immersive, mixed reality headsets like the Vision Pro, which are essentially bulky computers strapped to your face.
Right.
On the other end, you have devices like the Meta Ray-Bans, which are lightweight but primarily function as content creation tools for social media. Samsung is charting a distinct third path.
These glasses are incredibly minimalist. They look like a standard pair of reading glasses and weigh only 50 grams.
Barely noticeable.
On paper, the specs seem almost weak. They only have a small 12-megapixel camera tucked into the corner and a tiny 155 milliamp hour battery that's only good for about 4 to 6 hours. So how is a device with such a tiny battery supposed to do anything useful?
Because the glasses themselves aren't actually doing the computing. They contain a basic Qualcomm AR1 class chip, just for initial image processing, but they rely entirely on the processing power of the smartphone in your pocket via a Bluetooth connection.
Okay, that makes sense.
The camera captures what you are looking at, streams it to your phone, and the phone uses Google Gemini to analyze the scene, process the data, and send the results back to your eyes and ears.
And the real-world applications they showed off are wild. Imagine you are traveling abroad, you sit down at a restaurant, you look at a menu in a foreign language, and the glasses see it. They send the image to your phone, the phone translates it in milliseconds, and whispers the translation directly into your earbuds.
Feels like sci-fi.
Or you are at a museum, you stare at a painting, and suddenly you are hearing the historical context of the artist. You look at a product on a store shelf, and your glasses instantly run a price comparison across the internet.
And to address the obvious privacy concerns of walking around with a camera on your face, they included a physical cover that slides over the lens so people know you aren't recording them.
That's a smart touch.
Very smart. By offloading the heavy computational lifting and the massive battery requirements directly to the phone, the glasses remain lightweight, socially acceptable, and relatively affordable.
Analysts are currently predicting a launch price between $299 and $399.
Which is very competitive.
It perfectly illustrates how wearable technology is subtly blending into our daily reality without demanding our constant immersed attention.
Exactly.
Man, this has been such a wild ride.
Yeah.
We have looked at so much incredible disruptive tech today. We started with Lenovo and Motorola, completely breaking the physical rules of hardware design with the Legion Go Fold and the massive battery in the Razer Fold.
Right.
We watched Tesla manipulate global trade rules in real time to bring cheaper Chinese EVs into Canada. And we saw Samsung and Xiaomi turn our everyday phones into hyper-private, professional-grade AI and camera supercomputers.
This raises an important question, though, one that I want to leave you, the listener, to ponder. Think about those Samsung smart glasses. They prove that by offloading all the heavy AI processing directly onto the phone, our phones have truly become portable supercomputers.
Mm-hmm.
If our lightweight 50-gram glasses can seamlessly show us everything we need and tell us everything about our environment using the phone's brain in our pocket, well, the massive, beautiful, foldable screens we just talked about, like the Motorola Razr Fold and the Lenovo Legion Go Fold, eventually become entirely obsolete.
Oh, wow.
Are we currently witnessing the absolute peak of screen technology right before screens disappear from our hands completely?
That is a heavy thought to end on. Imagine a world with no screens at all, just data integrated seamlessly into our vision.
I might be closer than we think.
Well, we love digging into these concepts with you. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. As always, keep questioning the world around you, keep learning, and stay curious. See you next time.